is inspired by a conversation that I was having with Robin and Ruth Mills in one of our warm spaces. So we gather on a Thursday, and we haven't been inundated with guests, but we have had times of good fellowship. We've prayed, and God's spoken. And Robin and I were talking about Christmas television. One of the programs that was one of the surprise hits, it started out on BBC Four, did four series. This Christmas had a Christmas special on BBC Two, and was one of the most watched television programs on BBC Two on Boxing Day. The Detectorists, it's a whimsical, I wouldn't even call it a comedy, it's a whimsical program with profound truths that life is not always about hurry. It's learning to appreciate what you've got right in front of you. And Andy and Lance, the two characters played by Mackenzie Crook and Toby Jones, they are detectorists. That means they use metal detectors. They are not metal detectorists. So anyway, you'd have to watch the program. The Guardian wrote about this show. It says, "This show is about recognizing that everything you need in life might be right in front of you. From the loving partner who tolerates your silly obsessions to the green hills at the edge of your humdrum town that are as beautiful as any far-flung vista. A quiet afternoon in the clean air and a pint of your local ale in the pub with a friend is often reward enough." What are these two looking for? They're looking for treasure. So Robin and I had this conversation, and we'd started doing the Lectio and started saying, well, we must be asking God, and I do this. This is my Bible in a day, so you've seen it before. A passage of Old Testament, a passage of New Testament, a big chunk of Psalms and some Proverbs every day. The very next day, I opened my Bible, and the reading was, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." And in that moment, the conversation I'd had with Robin reading my Bible, in that moment, it was like God told me, we are all detectorists. Each day when we get our Bibles out and we read them, we are looking for treasure, aren't we? Well, I don't know about you, but I am. And as we discovered this Wednesday on the Lectio course, as we are approaching Scripture, as we're reading it, we should be looking to God to allow God to interrupt us, to get our attention, to use our intuition to see what captures our imagination here. And then, what catches our attention. And then we adopt a mindful playfulness. I love that phrase. A mindful playfulness as we apply our imagination and think creatively as we read the Word of God. So let's go back to that man in the field. Now, I've done some walking through fields with Richard and Steve on pilgrimages. And fields, when they're just ploughed, regardless of whether it's rained or not, are claggy and muddy. And I want you to imagine for a moment. The man has come to the entrance of the field and the gates there, and the sign that is at the entrance to the field that says, "For sale," but no one's been interested for years, and the sign is dilapidated. The sign is barely readable, but it's still got the "for sale," and you can just make out the phone number. But he does this route every day. He walks across the field, and every day he walks, but this day it's something different. You can just sense the slight mist in the air, and you can hear the crows crawling up in the trees. And as he walks, he's not thinking about everything else, but just on one step, he just catches a glint out the corner of his eye. And he just takes a step backwards. what was it? Can I catch it again? And there it is, a glint out the corner of his eye. He's not been there before. There's some reason, something inside him says, I've got to go and take another look. And he goes down and he kneels down. And he's aware that the patches on his knee, they're getting damp because the earth is damp. But as he sees something that's just glinting, something's shining a little bit. And he picks it up and rubs. He spits with the saliva just to clear it off. And he recognizes, this is gold. Well, that's what it looks like anyway. And a bit more spit and a bit more rubbing off. And yes, this is really something quite exciting. And he looks down and he finds a bit more. There's more than one. There's a bit. And he reaches and there's a, oh, what am I going to do? And he looks around. He wants to make sure no one else is watching. No one else can see this. This is really big news. So then he calls, what am I going to do? He covers it all over. He quickly marks it so he'll know where it is. And he rushes back and he looks at the field is still for sale. Then, quick photograph, get the number. Then he rushes home and he gets all of his stuff. What can I sell? What can I sell? He sells everything. He gets rid of everything because he knows what's in that field is so much more important, so much more valuable. He sells everything for the treasure in the field. And I felt God say to me, what about you? What would you do? Would I even have noticed the first glint? What about you? What would you have done? You see, we have got treasure right before us. And I've noticed on Wednesday night, something has happened. You've come week after week. There is a hunger that God might speak to us. And I don't want this to just be my experience. So I've asked Mel if she would come and give us some of her experience of being a treasure seeker.
Okay, just before I start, this is my story, and so it's not me looking. Well, I understand that everybody has different lives and priorities and circumstances, so it's not about anybody else. This is my story. So for quite a few years now, I have been reading my Bible at the kitchen table in the morning before anyone else is up in my house. And then I have a time of prayer and reflection, which usually produces tears as I spend time with the Holy Spirit, God. I tried different times of the day, but found last thing at night, I would feel myself dozing off or other thoughts from my day would creep into my mind. How was I going to be able to put into practice during my day what the Lord taught me through my Bible study if I went straight to sleep after I had read it and usually forgot about it by the next morning? If I put it off in the day, I rarely got round to doing it and would let other chores or activities take over. So the morning became my time. Of course, the morning might not work for everyone, and I am sure God would rather you spend some time with him at any point in the day rather than not at all. To enable myself to establish this routine, I must confess that at the start, I literally had to force myself to do it as it didn't come naturally to me. I hated history at school and would often not understand who I was reading about in the Bible or would find it a bit dry and boring. I know forcing myself doesn't sound great, but I had felt God prompting me for a long time to spend time in his word, and so this was the only way I could make it happen. I really wanted to grow deeper in my relationship with him. I wanted to move forward and be transformed from the inside out, and by giving him the best part of my day, which he deserves, I trusted this could happen. So after forcing myself, and it being a bit of a chore at first, I began to feel and see the benefits in my life and felt I was being transformed. It no longer felt like a chore and has now become part of my life and usual routine. I started to look forward to that part of my day. I do struggle sometimes at weekends as my routine is different, so it might take place in the middle of the day instead and sometimes not at all. When Martin mentioned the Lectio Divina course, I knew instantly I wanted to be part of it. I was convinced it could bring new insight into my Bible reading, which, if I am honest, is still a bit flat at times and hard to get my head around. Since starting the course, it has taught me to read the passage, then meditate on the passage again by reading it again and letting a word or some sentence jump out. This is the treasure. Then pray into the passage over each line and then contemplate and reflect on what it means for me. I do this slowly and really try and let the words sink in. One of the guests on the video really challenged me because she said that Lectio is the moment she has a personal encounter with Christ guaranteed. I thought, wow, I want to have that expectancy that I could really meet with Christ guaranteed. Another person that said that we limit the ability for Christ to come into our minds by how expectant we are of him connecting with us. If we don't think we will, our minds are limiting him and shutting him out. So we are shooting ourselves in the foot in a way by thinking like that. So I have tried to have a different mindset and approach before I start and have found myself being transported into the stories in a new way. I can see colour, hear voices, see the faces of the characters and their expressions. Words and lines are popping out. I feel like there is a new connection in my soul, tailor-made just for me. Here are a few examples of the popping out. In the passage when Jesus is asleep on the boat and the storm is raging and they're frightened, I could imagine Jesus curled up again asleep. I hadn't noticed the cushion in the story before. It was orange in my mind. I imagined them nudging him to wake him up and how human that felt and how real and tangible. When he calmed the storm, he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Sometimes I lack faith, especially when my children are in difficult situations or I worry about them. That was a real challenge for me, and I imagined Jesus saying to me, "Come on, Mel, do you still have no faith? You know I always come through for you." Another example was when we had a really cold spell and the frost was so thick. I put my head out of the Velux window one morning and I was blown away by the frost and frozen canal in front of me. I was captivated by the beauty and marvel of it all. That morning, when I started my Lectio and reading the passage that my UCB daily devotional led me to, I read Psalm 147. Instead of just reading one line of the passage, I have started to read a whole chunk. As I read to the bottom, it said, "He scatters the frost like ashes." I was amazed because the frost really had looked like ashes to me on the grass. It was another connection that I was having with God in the everyday and a new depth. It brought it alive to me into that day. Despite the Bible being written so long ago, it felt so alive and personal to me. Last one, don't worry, Martin. We have been encouraged to eat the words of the Bible metaphorically this week, so they are in us and we can pull them out at any time to encourage ourselves or others. This is something I find really hard, but I have been managing it. This week, I decided to learn another passage, and it seemed easier than usual. It was Proverbs 3:5, which came up in my daily reading. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." During the day, I was texting Anna, my daughter-in-law, and she quoted the passage in the conversation. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Then on my way home, I thought I was going to be doing something that evening, and two of my friends cried off that I was doing it with, so I messaged someone else during the day to see if they would be able to do it with me instead. I hadn't heard anything. I could have done this activity on my own, but I really didn't want to or have the motivation to do it, and I was wrestling with it on my way home in the car and talking to myself and God about it. As I got closer to home, I thought, I know, I will say the passage out loud, because if I acknowledge God in all my ways, he will make the path straight and show me what to do. So I did say it out loud, and I prayed it too, asking him to show me what to do and which path I should go down. As I reversed into the drive and switched the car off, I had a text come in, and it was that person messaging me to say, "I'll do it with you." I was so happy and knew God had helped me in that moment. I did the activity I had planned to do and felt amazing afterwards. A real sense of joy and gratitude because he had heard me and I could see all the connections that had been lining up throughout the day. From waking up to spend the best part of my day with him directing me to that passage, being able to memorize it and eat it so it became within me, for Anna to talk about it during the day and for me then to speak it over myself and to ask God to speak a loud and clear answer. I would highly recommend getting to bed earlier so that you can get up earlier to read your Bible unhurried. He has so much he wants to say to us through this amazing book. Don't keep it on the shelf. Open it and start a new habit of a lifetime. You won't regret it. It has transformed my life and deepened my relationship with God over the years, and doing Lectio has taken it to a whole new level. As I was preparing my notes yesterday, I hadn't managed to read my Bible yet for the day, and as I looked at the passage I was going to read, it was Psalm 153. It said, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." A God incidence, maybe. Thank you, Martin, for introducing Lectio Divina to me. And thank you, God, for waiting for me at my kitchen table every day and for not condemning me if I show up late or not at all. If I'm able to carry you with me and communicate with you, I'm able to carry you, God, with me and communicate with you wherever I am.
Fantastic. Wasn't that good? Well done, Mel. So this is what I've been doing every day. As I said, I still do my reading, but I'm asking God, where's the treasure? What is it that you want to highlight to me? What is it that you want to interrupt me with? That glint in the mud. So I thought I would just talk you through a week's worth of those stopping moments for me. Well, the first one I've talked about, it's the man that sells everything in the field in Matthew 13. Then on Saturday, January the 21st, we got to Matthew 13 and verse 52. And this verse says, "Every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old." And I'm not sure I'm a teacher of religious law, but I think part of my responsibility is to bring out new gems of truth as well as old. And I felt God reminding me that my task is to be searching as hard as you, if not harder, because I want those new gems as well as the old. So then on Sunday, January the 22nd, there were two particular lines. As soon as Jesus heard the news, this is the news that John the Baptist, who has been beheaded at the behest of Herodias. And it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. And then later on in the passage, it says, after sending them home, this is all the crowds, Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And for me, it was just this reminder that we do so much stuff, don't we? So much. If Jesus found the time to be alone with his Heavenly Father and needed to do it and prioritized it, how much more should we? Monday the 23rd was Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. It just simply says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him know. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world." We sang it earlier, didn't we? We sang, "Praise him, you heavens and all that's above." It's a story of the declaration that creation, God's creation, declares his praise. And sometimes if you get stuck and you don't know, what should I be praying? What should be doing? Why don't you join with all the heavenly hosts? And it doesn't matter whether you're in the countryside where you can sort of look out on all the glories, or you're in a city and you look up at night. God's creation still declares his glory. Tuesday the 24th, I got stuck by Psalm 20, read it many times, but one line, verse 7 says, "Some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God." chariots and horses was all about wealth. It was a display of affluence. It was a display of strength. It was a display of importance. If you had chariots and horses, you were one important person. And yet the psalmist says, we don't boast in any of that stuff. We boast in the name of the Lord our God. Wednesday, January 25th, I was slightly taken aback because I've been reading through the story of Joseph and all of the stuff that he goes through, and he's sold into slavery and he interprets dreams, and there's a famine and he interprets his dreams. He's placed into a position of very high power, which means he is ruling much of Egypt. And then his brothers come to see him and he doesn't declare who he is. And his father comes. And this whole story, and it comes to right at the end. And his father's died and his brothers are before him. And they are absolutely terrified of what he is going to do to them. And he says, don't worry. He said, because what you intended for harm, God intended for good. And I thought, that's the verse. That's my one for the day. That's where God's going to stop me. And God went, no, it's not. Oh. So I carried on and read my New Testament passage, and where I'm still reading through Matthew. Matthew 16, 24. This was it. Jesus said to his disciples, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Now that verse on its own is, blows your brain, but it wasn't that. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit? This is the verse. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? And that verse, what's it matter? If I've got all the riches, you ask people, and I've done this not for a while, but if you do it, you know, if you could grant one wish, what would it be? Oh, to win the lottery. I want all the money. I want the dream house. I want the wonderful life. I want. And God says in this passage, what is it going to benefit you if you gain the whole world but lose your very soul? It's like that treasure in the field. We've got to go after Jesus. We've got to go after Jesus. So Thursday the 26th, finished with Genesis and now into Exodus. And in Exodus 3, there's a story of Moses. And he comes across this burning bush. And the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. And it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses. Moses. And here I am, replied Moses. God called for him when Moses went to take a closer look. I wonder how many of us are prepared to take a step forward, to take a closer look at what God's doing. It was when the guy in the field got down to see the gold that he knew what the treasure was. He went to take a closer look. Mel has a closer look. We need to take a closer look, and then God will call our name. Friday the 27th, I've gone over a week, but I thought, I'm preparing the talk today. I better make sure I include today's as well. Wonder what it will be. And it was Matthew 18, 19 and 20. I tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I'm there among them. And I felt God wanted to encourage you. Yes, we may not be, as already been said today, we may not be as big as we once were. We may not be the church that everyone looks to and says, you need to go to Stroud Christian Fellowship. They're the big one. They've got the amazing. Do you know, wherever two or three of his followers are together, there Jesus is in the middle of them. This map, if we're not focusing on Jesus, if we're not recognizing where Jesus is, we're missing it. So where we are as his followers, Jesus is right there. And so I thought, I'm going to fold this up now. And God says, I haven't finished with you yet. Oh, it was coming to such a nice conclusion. And he said, Matthew 7, go back to Matthew 7. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I want to beg you, open the Bible. Walk through the field. Ask God to reveal the treasure to you. Become a detectorist. Say to God, would you interrupt me as I'm reading? Get my attention. Will you allow me to use my intuition? Because as I open it, you're speaking. This is your spirit revealing stuff to me. The treasure will jump out. And adopt a mental playfulness. Apply your imagination. Think creatively. I love the fact that Mel thought the cushion was orange. She saw the disciples nudging him. When we play it out in our mind, it comes alive and God can speak to us. I find myself doing this more and more as I read. I say, it's like a movie scene. I want you to become detectorist, to find God's treasure. Allow God to interrupt us. Use your intuition, apply your imagination, and find God's treasure. It will do you so much good.